You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. This is an episode previewing Michigan's first Big Ten matchup of the season as they host Rutgers on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. kickoff time. So we'll talk about some of the keys to the game for the Wolverines. We will also do our over-under predictions. We'll talk about a couple storylines that came up this week in press conferences, and then ultimately make our final game predictions. Lots of preview content up and more coming over at MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Be sure to check it all out. There's statistical previews, storyline previews, lots to be covered as the Wolverines and Rutgers both 3-0. Michigan 3-0 for the first time since 2017. I don't know the last time Rutgers was 3-0, but there are some years they didn't get to three wins, period. So clearly they're a resurgent team. So Steve, let's start looking at the keys to Michigan's offense. Rutgers' defense quietly, well, I don't know how quiet it is, but they are better than they've been. I think you could argue that they're even better than they were in 2020. But they are, I mean, top 20 in yards per game allowed, yards per play allowed, passing yards allowed, passing yards per play allowed. Completion percentage, they're number two in the country. You know, forced a lot of turnovers. Number two third down defense in the country. This is against a pretty subpar schedule. But in your mind, what is the key for Michigan's offense in this game?
I think they got to neutralize the linebackers, right? Rutgers has a couple of good linebackers. Was it Olakunle? I can't remember how you pronounce his last name. But a lot of people had him picked as, Fadukasi.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think some people had him picked as a potential All-American candidate heading into the season, and is definitely one of the best defenders in the Big Ten, regardless of position. So got to figure out a way to kind of keep those guys guessing, which this will be a good, given that, that linebacker looks like Rutgers' best position. This might be a good little lead into the Wisconsin game next week, as far as, a defense that can maybe test Michigan's running game a little bit more. So, again, I think maybe this is a game also where they're going to have to open it up a little bit more. And I believe one of Rutgers' projected starting corners is definitely not playing, right? Was he one of the guys arrested?
Melton?
Yeah. Did he start?
Did they say how? Yes. Melton was a starter. Max Melton. He was their number three defensive player, according to Pro Football Focus as well.
Right.
Really good in coverage and a backup cornerback also. It was a part of this paintball incident. I don't think it's been, well, at the time that we're recording this, I don't think it's been officially announced how long they're suspended, but it would be kind of weird if they were suspended for 3 days of practice and then played in Saturday's game. Just optically speaking, but
suspended,
but I guess,
suspended immediately is the phrase. I mean, that doesn't usually mean that you'll see him on Saturday, but again,
yeah,
who knows, but I agree. You're right in that they haven't made it, 100% clear what their status is for Saturday's game, but either way, let's just say they don't play. That gives Michigan a little more comfort maybe in trying to throw the football. So, I think this quietly will be a nice little test for Michigan's running game and with them to maybe have to pass the ball a little bit more. So, it's really hard to what to make of Rutgers. Like you said, three wins is more than they would have gotten in a lot of years. And they haven't beaten like a murderer's row necessarily, but Temple and Syracuse are two teams that Rutgers would not have beaten in many,
certainly
many
not,
years.
With that Temple game, certainly not by that many points.
Absolutely. I think they quadrupled the spread, if not more. I mean, they were, I don't, yeah. maybe, So yeah, not your, how would you say it? Not your older brother's Rutgers. I'm trying to think of a way. It's like where it's not too far, not too long ago, but also not too recently. So yeah, maybe not like your older siblings Rutgers, but Michigan still favored by 19 last check.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that is a testament to Michigan. You know, these spreads, if you go look at like the analytics sites, you know, thinking about Football Power Index or, you know, Bill Connolly's S&P rankings, you know, all these other rankings and things. I mean, 18 points is about accurate. That's kind of 18, 19 points. But a lot of that has to do with Michigan being perceived as a top 10 team by those sites. You know, Rutgers is still number 43 in the Football Power Index. I think Pro Football Focus has them as a top 60 team. So not quite necessarily a team knocking on the door of being ranked, at least on what has been shown so far, but not a nothing game either. So for me, I think the big key, and fans are going to be annoyed by this, but for the key for Michigan's offense is just keep running the ball. You know, I know fans are going to want to see Michigan air it out. I don't think this is the matchup to do it. You know, I guess we'll see how things look with Melton out of the picture, but they've got a whole secondary that grades out really well in pass coverage. And I mean, it's a lot of guys who I've been covering in my annual season preview type stories for years. You know, Avery Young, I can't believe he's still at Rutgers. I feel like I was writing about him in 2018 as, you know, kind of their star cornerback. You know, Christian, I think it's Izian, another safety. You know, they've got Najee Jones, kind of a, you know, I think he can do a little bit of everything. Keyshawn Abraham. Yeah, it's just, they've got a lot of guys who have really good coverage stats so far this season. And it's an athletic secondary. And you're so right about the linebackers too. A lot of four-star guys, a lot of former top 250 recruits. I think one way to kind of illustrate that is Drew Singleton is, just in terms of snaps played, he's like their sixth or seventh linebacker. And so, you know, former Michigan player who transferred. So it's really not the back seven, I guess, is really nothing to sneeze at. But I do think Michigan will have an advantage running the ball. I think they will have an opportunity, you know, thinking about Haskins and Corum when he gets to the second level. This feels like a game where Michigan could run, maybe not for 350 yards like what they've been averaging, but probably could run for at least 250 yards. And that, I feel like that'd be enough. You know, we'll talk about Rutgers offense in a moment, but this is a defensively driven team. So if Michigan has a size and strength and skill advantage up front, and they have, you know, very good running backs, maybe two of the top four or five in the entire Big Ten, just, I mean, hammer that home. Don't even, you know, pass the ball, obviously, to keep the defense honest. But this is a Rutgers team matchup wise. They would fare much better against a team that's reliant on the pass than a team that's reliant on the run. And so far, Michigan has looked, if they're not reliant on the run, they're much more comfortable rushing the ball. So I think this is a game where they're going to be able to, Michigan will be able to impose their will a little bit running the ball. And I don't see any reason to deviate too much from that. It's working. They number one in the country in rushing yards per game, number four in yards per carry. So certainly seems like, to me, it might be frustrating to fans. They might be tired of hearing, oh, the team Michigan's playing has really good secondary, kind of like what we said against Washington, which I think you and I both said before the game that was going to be a game where Michigan had to run the ball. Turns out that's just about all they did. So I think this is a similar situation. I don't think Rutgers cornerbacks are untouchable, especially with Melton out. But I think this is a game where if Michigan averages at least 5 yards per carry, I don't think there's any scenario where they're not losing this game or not winning this game. Excuse me. Steve, your key for Michigan's defense in this game?
I say just keep the energy going. You know, I think that's really what has sort of fed the strong start. I think you saw Aiden Hutchinson tweet about being ready for Big Ten season. McDonald's comments about making a play is hard to do, so you should be celebrating when you do make a play. You know, I think that energy level is something Michigan sorely lacked the last couple seasons. And I think that's something that I think if they bring that every Saturday at home, they're going to be incredibly difficult to beat. Not saying, you know, they have to bring it everywhere, but I think when they do bring it and they're at home, I just think they're going to be very formidable, more formidable than they would be on the road. So more of an intangible sort of thing. But for me, I really think it comes down to, well, the basics. You know, I think the front four needs to build off of what they've shown the last couple of weeks. And I think I agree with Jim Harbaugh. I think he said that Jamon Green, Vince Gray had their best game of the season last week. I think you need to keep building off of those. I think guys are getting better, you know, tangibly. So just kind of keep climbing that mountain a little bit. To borrow an idiom from the 97 season, I mean, that's what that was their thing, was climbing the mountain. And I think in a way, this Michigan defense, that maybe that's the approach that they should kind of take. So, yeah, I mean, Rutgers, again, solid. They have some playmakers, but I don't know if they have anything that's going to like scare the hell out of them. You know, I think this is really a game that's within Michigan. It's more of a Michigan does what they do, then they should be able to take care of business.
Yeah, I think this is not an offense that should scare Michigan fans. Perhaps they have some success just because we don't know a ton about Michigan's defense just yet. And obviously Rutgers did have success against Michigan last season, but the Scarlet Knights seem a little one-dimensional, if I'm being frank. I mean, they're averaging 3.3 yards per carry, and they're averaging 144 rushing yards per game. Those are really, really below average numbers. And you know, they're putting a lot on Noah Vedral's plate. And he had a great game against Michigan last year. Probably going to end up being the game of his career. I think it was 386 passing yards. And so far this season, he's doing well. He's completed 71.5% of his passes. He's thrown four touchdowns with no picks. So they can throw the ball, but I think the one thing where I think Michigan can really kind of end any sort of upset opportunity, and something that they didn't do a ton of last season, is bring the pass rush. They have Aiden Hutchinson healthy, Josh Ross, another guy who I think brings a lot of energy to that defense, to where maybe the younger players or players who are kind of going through the ups and downs of the game can feed off of, just like they do with Aiden Hutchinson, they can feed off of the play of Josh Ross. You know, if those two can get in the backfield, if maybe you can get some push from your interior, guys like Chris Jenkins, Mozzie Smith, Christopher Hinton, who another guy who I think he's got better over the past three games, in my personal opinion. So, you know, Rutgers offensive line, still not anything spectacular. You know, that's the difference between Rutgers and maybe the rest of the Big Ten East teams that have some excitement about them is I think Rutgers is still trying to figure things out in the trenches. And so, yeah, if they can get a pass rush, if they can get Noah Vedral to have to hurry his throws, he's better at the hurry throws this year than last year. You know, last year it seemed like they were a little reliant on the deep ball against Michigan. He's pretty good at those, I guess, one-step drop, three-step drop, and just get rid of the ball right away. A little bit better at those this year. But if he has to rely on those, I think Michigan's going to have the edge. They don't have much of a run game. I think there's going to be a good amount of third and long situations for the Scarlet Knights, especially if Michigan holds its own in coverage. And so pin your ears back, get the NASCAR package on the field. You know, Mike Morris, I think, is someone who really shines in that role, being able to go inside for pass rushing situations. Yeah, if Michigan has a solid pass rush, which they haven't, I think, lived up to the hype this year in pass rushing so far, but they have the tools and they've had some really strong moments, I think they have a chance to really dominate this game and put Rutgers in a situation where, I mean, they're kind of in desperation mode offensively from the jump. Steve, any other keys to this game for Michigan? You know, thinking about narrative storylines from this week, you know, players that are, well, we'll talk about players in a moment, but any other keys to this matchup to make sure that Michigan, I guess, wins comfortably, because they're favored to win pretty heavily. But I think if they won by three, I think Michigan fans would be disappointed. So I guess not just winning, but also winning and looking good while doing it.
Get AJ Henning the ball more. Like we've talked
see
about
my
this
tweet today.
I know, but I, you know, I mean, anybody that's followed this knows I've been saying that for 10 damn years, like the Independence Day,
yeah, when he graduated from elementary school, fifth grade graduation.
Yep, I called it. I picked him as a 2021 breakout player.
Yeah.
I think getting him and Roman Wilson the ball in actual passing situations is something I think Michigan needs to start maybe look at doing a little bit more, or at least trying to create some packages or some route combinations to get those guys some looks. Because here's, don't get me wrong, the way they've been able to run the ball between the tackles is going to leave that open. At the very least, they'll be able to continually use the end arounds as a decoy much more than they've been able to in years past. But I still think these guys are can be huge assets for them in the passing game. You know, and we've seen, you know, I don't know how many times. And I think the coaches feel the same way. I mean, we see what Henning does when he has the ball in his hands. Punt return looked like a strength all of a sudden within the matter of a week. You know, you get him the ball. He's quick, shifty, slippery enough to, you know, to make some stuff happen. And I think he can do the same thing in the passing game. And I feel the same way about Roman Wilson too. So I'm kind of interested to see if those guys maybe get the ball a little bit more in the passing game, or if they are going to be, you know, I don't want to say relegated, but so far it's been pretty McDoom usage for both of those guys as far as actual offense goes. So, you know, and don't get, you know, Baldwin really stepped up, and I mentioned him last week after the game as his emergence being really a really nice thing for Michigan going forward. Is it looks like McNamara is very comfortable in throwing him the ball, but we've seen, you know, Michigan's got a lot of weapons, and we're starting to finally see that come to fruition. I think trying to get those guys the ball a little bit more would only do wonders for them and with everything else they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think the Henning point is a good one. In six offensive touches this season, which I count all passing targets and then rushing attempts as well, he has 136 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's a really high efficient clip. And I still think, and I think you are on the same page as me, they haven't really showcased his entire arsenal of skills yet. I mean, he's a guy that can really create separation downfield. He has really good vertical leaping ability. You know, he is shorter, so it's not like he's going to go up for the 50-50 red zone, you know, heave it up and hope someone jumps up and gets it. But in terms of stuff over the middle, you know, I think he'd be someone that could really excel in some of those quick out routes. So it's, yeah, I think there's a lot to be gained from it, especially if Rutgers maybe has a weak spot somewhere in its secondary. It might have a good secondary overall, but if they're missing Melton, then and maybe his backup too, suddenly there's little pockets in the field that they can try to exploit. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to hit a break on the other side. We've got our over-unders, and then we've got our final game predictions. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Thanks for waiting. So, of course, our over-unders are always provided to us from via Azul over on our message board and on Twitter. I think it's Beige Galaga. I'm not entirely sure, but last week we both went 5 for 8. So far this season, I'm 11 for 16. Steve, you are 10 for 16. So maybe listeners, maybe don't put money on our picks just yet, but it's an interesting way to preview the upcoming game. Offense, 229.5 passing yards for Michigan's quarterbacks. Do they throw for 230 yards or more? Steve, your thoughts?
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go on a hunch here. So nothing really to add there. We just got done talking about the passing game, all the different weapons. I think they go over. You know, Rutgers could be down two of their three best corners. Michigan's offensive line looked excellent. I know, again, Northern Illinois, but even against Washington when needed, and Western, they look obviously capable of pass protection. So I think they may, and again, I look at this as being spurred by maybe a big play or two. I don't think this is Michigan throws the ball 40 times and gets there. I think they hit a couple big plays and get the over on that yardage.
I'm going to take the under. I really think this Rutgers defense reminds me a little bit of Washington. And I think there might be some, I guess it'll be an interesting test to see if Michigan throws the ball for the sake of throwing the ball, or if they really just continue to score running the ball and say, we don't really care about the optics. We're just going to score. It also kind of feels like this is a game Michigan will, they might not win by as many points as they've won the previous few, but I think it's a game that they're going to be able to control for much of the game. And that's usually a situation where Michigan is especially when they have multiple running backs. I think that's one thing that if I could go on a small mini rant here, is Michigan fans are often talking about, oh, you can't run the ball that many times and win. I think that's normally true. I think you do need to pass to win in the college level, but they have three very legit. I mean, they have one running back who's starting to enter the Heisman conversation. They have another one who is probably a top five running back in the Big Ten. And then they have a five-star freshman who has looked very good when he's had the ball. Still something to be said for doing it against better defenses, but I think when you have that many running backs and you have guys who can do a variety of plays, like it's not 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's not, you know, it's not that. It really is a lot of misdirection. There's been counters. There's been a lot of things that are going to keep defenses guessing a little bit. And I'd argue Corum and Edwards are both legitimate threats in the passing game. They've both lined up at receiver. So anyways, all of that to say, I don't think Michigan is actually doomed if they are such a run heavy team this year. It's not like a boring running game. It's a very successful running game. I think it's going to work on Saturday. And I think that they just, especially if there's a chance that it rains, I think I'm going to take the under on this one. Number two, Blake Corum is Michigan's leading rusher by 29.5 yards. I think I'm going to take the over on that. That seems high. You know, if he rushes for 120, that would mean Haskins or Edwards or anyone else would have to be 90 or below. But I don't know. He looks very much like a star. I said it kind of as a question on Saturday's episode. You know, is he Michigan's best playmaker at a skill position since Denard Robinson? I'm increasingly, having rewatched Saturday's game and having rewatched all of these games, increasingly thinking yes. So I'm gonna say he has another big game and is ahead of all of the other rushers by 30 yards or more. Steve, where are you on this one?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll say, is it over in this one?
Yeah.
The big playability, I think, is what separates, is why I'll go with the over on that one, because he's shown not only a knack for making something out of nothing, but he's also shown a knack for just taking one to the house. And
right.
So I with that alone, you know, Haskins' value, while he is obviously capable of making big plays, I don't see him as the, you know, 85 yard touchdown kind of guy, whereas Corum, in any given situation, as well as Michigan is blocked up front, I feel like that's weirdly a possibility. It's like, we haven't been able to say that about a Michigan running back in how long. Even Hart, as great as he was never a threat to really take 190 yards. So, you know, Corum, a unique talent, one that I think Michigan, it's already been a lot of fun to watch him, you know, kind of emerge nationally. So I'll go with the over. I think I just think it's one of those, you play the odds, and I think that the odds are in favor of that for him.
Next up, 5.5 plays of at least 20 yards. I think this has been a huge strength for Michigan this season. I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head. I'll get them in a moment, but I kind of, 5.5 or 6 or more, I guess I should say, that is a high number of 20-yard plays. I'm kind of inclined to think that they can pull it off, though. I mean, you mentioned Corum. We've mentioned A.J. Henning. Roman Wilson, I think, has already had a few, but even he looks like he has more to offer than what has been shown so far. Plus, you mentioned the offensive line. That's going to open things up for Haskins. And then Edwards has pretty good big playability as well, but certainly as a freshman, benefits from an offensive line that's really mowing people down in a lot of ways. So I think Rutgers is a better defense than, you know, Northern Illinois and Western Michigan. I think that they're just a step below Washington's. Same time, I feel like this is a big play offense. I feel like the recruiting efforts to find big play threats is really starting to pay off now. 5.5 plays of at least 20 yards. Steve, where do you fall on this one?
I got to go with the over, just because of how, especially because of how, like I said, how well the offensive line has played. I think it, you know, yeah. Think about how many different guys in this offense are a 20-yard threat on any given play. Corum, Haskins, like you said, Edwards, even in a certain situation, Johnson, Baldwin, Henning, Wilson, even Sainer still too, who's really kind of been very quiet so far. I'm kind of interested to see, how he looks or if he gets any more opportunities in the passing game in the next couple of weeks. You know, he's had a very, very quiet start to the season. So just too many possibilities all, even if they, you know, if they play the, they throw down the seam a little bit more. So a lot of possibilities for that. And I think the offensive line continues to do a good enough job where they'll get that done. So I'm going to take the over as well.
So far this season, Michigan has 17 such plays through three games. So I guess 5.5 is around average. Last year they were quietly a solid big play offense as well. They had 31 in six games. So anyways, final offensive one, 7.5 targets for the tight ends and the running backs. I'm going to take the over. I've mentioned a few times, even with Max Melton out, I'm impressed by Rutgers cornerbacks. I think this is a game where, kind of like Washington, where Michigan maybe says, hey, we won't throw there, you know, or we won't throw there unless we have to. As long as the offense is moving the football, you know, we can take the lower degree of difficulty route to scoring. So I'm going to say over. I think the running backs and tight ends, once again, get targeted quite a bit in the passing game. Where do you fall on this one?
I'll say over. We see, you know, they've shown a proclivity of getting these guys, you know, Corum, another one. That's where another area where I think Michigan could hit the over on that first over under, because Corum could be the guy to take one to the house in the passing game. And we've seen him do in the running game, but he's clearly a threat to catch it out of the backfield as well. So I'll go with the over also. It's McNamara seems to gravitate a little bit to the dump downs, particularly, you know, like I think of the Washington game, we saw, maybe did he struggle a little bit? Yes, but like can really make the check down throws, and you know, Eric Allis looked good the last couple of weeks also. So, you know, kind of a safety valve type guy. So I can see them using them. So I'll say over as well.
All right. Next we move to the defense. 79.5 all-purpose yards. So return game counts for Isaiah Pacheco. He's a running back. He's their starting running back. He has closing in on 2,000 career rushing yards and 20 rushing touchdowns. Also has just under 250 receiving yards. Looks like in the return game, he has not played. So I guess it's really scrimmage yards for the most part. Does he get to 79.5? I'm going to take the under. He only has 165 this season, only averaging 3.6 yards per carry. Feels like someone Michigan should be aware of, but feels unlikely that he gets to 80 yards in a game like this. Steve, what do you think?
I feel like we've only disagreed on one, right? The first one?
I think the first two.
Okay. I'm going the under also. I don't see him making that big of an impact. Your season stat, I was already going to go with the under, but your season stat cements it for me. So, yeah, hard to see him, you know, making a big impact in either aspect of the game. Michigan has looked good so far defensively. And also, like you said, Rutgers doesn't really throw anything at you up front that makes you think that Michigan is going to be overmatched or at any kind of disadvantage. So, I'm going to take the under.
Yeah. 1.5 sacks for Aiden Hutchinson. As a general rule, I never make individual sack predictions because I'm almost always wrong. So I'm going to take the under. I'll take the under. He has 3.5 this year. I think the rest of Michigan's team only has 2.5 or something. But so he's obviously their main pass rusher. Does he get to 1.5 sacks or more in this game? What do you think?
I'll go over. I always agree with your logic in the predicting sack totals. It's like predicting turnovers. But I think he gets a couple. He's been awesome so far. He's been an All-American, if we're being honest. Top 10 draft pick. I mean, he's a NFL caliber player right now. So I'm going to take the over. I think he puts his stamp on this game. Not saying he gets like 3 or 4, but 1.5. I'll give him 2. I think he gets 2.
Okay. Yeah, no, totally, totally fair. Although Rutgers does rank decent in avoiding sacks. Next up, 10.5 tackles for loss plus pass breakups for the defense. I think this is an over. It's a high number for just tackles for loss and pass breakups, but I think Rutgers' propensity to pass and their inability to run the ball effectively, I think this is actually quietly an area where Michigan could be really successful. They are, they rank, There it is. They rank, There we go. They rank 112th nationally in tackles for loss allowed per game, only 27th nationally in sacks allowed per game, but certainly having some difficulties eliminating negative plays, which makes me think they're going to throw a lot, which makes me think Michigan will get some pass breakups. What do you think on this one? 10.5 tackles for loss plus pass breakups combined for the Michigan's defense.
I'll go the over also. So just think this, I think you look at this game, I think the biggest mismatch in this game is Michigan's defense on the Rutgers offense. And I think you look at how Josh Ross has played extremely aggressively early on. You got Dax Hill running all over the place. You know, I just think Michigan makes enough plays defensively. I think they get there. So also solid pass. You know, they haven't quite forced the turnovers in the, you know, like interceptions in the passing game of their defensive backs, but they have made a few plays on the ball. So I'll go with the over. That'd be a close one though. I think that one's going to be close.
Yeah. I would be curious to see what they did last season. I know last season I counted havoc plays overall, so it also includes turnovers, and I don't remember if there was another one that I included in there, but they had 15 last year against Rutgers after really struggling to even get to 10 against Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Indiana. All right, our final over under, Michigan's longest punt or kickoff return is 34.5 yards. Steve, your thoughts?
Over.
You think they get a 35-yard return? Or more?
Yeah, I'm just playing the odds. It happens every once in a while. Michigan has done so well. I feel like maybe they're due to let something up a little bit.
To clarify, I'm saying Michigan's longest return.
Oh, Michigan's longest return.
Yes.
Over. Yeah, still over.
Okay.
No, I think they'll do it. Yeah. I still feel the same way. Michigan's, again, their special teams, I guess the original point still stands. Their special teams has been excellent so far this season, pretty much across the board. And they have too many athletes that they can throw back there. Corum being one of them, you know, too many guys back there, I think, that are capable of doing it at any time. So I think Saturday may be a game where we finally see it.
Yeah, it certainly will be interesting. If this happens, it's going to come in the kick return game. That Michigan is not going to be factoring much into the punt return game this game. Rutgers has, in my opinion, by quite a wide margin, the best punter in the country, Adam Korsak. He is averaging 52 yards per punt, and only one of them has been returned. And it was only returned for, I think, 3 yards. Might have only been 2 yards even. He's an elite punter. He can place it anywhere. He probably, honestly, could have declared early for the draft and gone pro last season. He probably would be a starting NFL punter right now. So don't think he's going to allow too many big returns. The kick return game, it will be interesting, because I think Michigan's philosophy is very much don't even worry about the touchback. Shoot your shot. Try to get a big return. And with Corum, I didn't realize that their squib kick return fielders are like Mike Sainra still. You know, guys who can still house one and who still have a lot of playmaking potential. So I think it's possible. I'm pretty comfortable taking the under, though. Rutgers is an elite special teams team. You know, they have some good returners too. I believe was it Aaron Cruikshank, who, you know, he was Wisconsin's former return man. I think he took a punt return 61 yards to the house last week. Yeah, they're top 25 in kick return yards per attempt and punt return yards per attempt. So as you mentioned, Michigan's special teams under-discussed. Rutgers special teams might be their biggest strength on the entire team. Anyways, final thoughts on the matchup and your final score prediction. Steve, I'll let you go first with this one.
So we're talking about the line. I think it's like a, I think it's a good line for this game, because I think both our predictions are going to be somewhere around what it is. It's at 19 still, correct? It was last check. Let's say it's 18 and a half or 19. It's somewhere around there.
Which felt really high when I first saw it on Sunday, but then I kind of started to look a little bit, and that's, you're right. It's not like an outrageous line. If it's moved, I don't think it's moved a ton.
Right. Now I know it. So 19 is where they opened, and it bumped down to 18 and a half, means there's not a lot of movement, not a lot of confidence, maybe that Rutgers can cover that number. I mean, it's at home. Michigan has looked really comfortable on both sides of the ball. I think that energy plus that just poise and comfort that it looks like they have, particularly up front on both sides, you know, I think it'll kind of show again. I think Michigan cruises to an extent. You know, I don't know if it's a runaway, but I do think it's a game that they comfortably win. I'm going to go. We probably have the same score prediction too. I'm going to go 35-17 Michigan over Rutgers. I think they run the ball successfully, and I think they make a couple big plays defensively.
Yeah. At some point our score predictions aren't going to be so simple. Well, actually maybe not, because I think we are on the same page with what Michigan is, and it's still kind of guesswork onto what these other teams are until more conference games have been played. I am with you. I think Michigan wins this game in the trenches. I think that they have a much better offensive line than Rutgers' defensive line. I think on the other end, it's at least a push, and Aiden Hutchinson maybe pushes them over the edge in that. Yeah, I think that I just don't think Rutgers is going to be able to get into a rhythm when they are playing on the road. They are playing, and that actually means something this year. It's, you know, with fans in the stands and everything. Michigan does play extremely well at home. I'd be really curious. This is an unofficial, so it might be harder to actually track, but under Jim Harbaugh, I feel like so many September home games are billed as, quote, Michigan's first test of the season. You know, I think 2015, it was BYU, Northwestern. 2016, it was Penn State and Colorado. I guess 2017, you know, there wasn't any marquee home game. 2018, I almost want to say Nebraska was labeled as such. Maryland might have been labeled as such. You guys are getting the picture here. It's always billed as like, oh, it'll be their first test. We'll see what they have. And then they just clobber the team by 30. And everyone forgets that it was ever mentioned as a test. So I kind of get those vibes from this game. Still kind of feel roughly the same as I did before the season about Michigan's outlook this fall. You know, we mentioned that in our last episode, kind of recapping the Northern Illinois game. But Michigan is a better team than Rutgers. They're playing at home. And I don't think this is the best matchup for Rutgers defense. I think that they would do really well against a team that is still trying to figure out its run game or still trying to figure out its offensive line and is relying on downfield passing. But Michigan has shown they will beat a Power 5 team with hardly a single downfield pass, period. And so, yeah, I think Michigan wins this game. My score prediction, Michigan 31, Rutgers 13. So same margin as you, just maybe a slightly lower scoring game. Maybe you can chalk that one up to the rain. Anyways, for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. Be sure to check out all of our preview content. Be sure to check out our recruiting podcast that's coming out, I guess, pretty much in the same 24-hour stretch that this one comes out in. And stay tuned at themichiganinsider.com and michigan.247sports.com for stories leading up to and throughout the weekend. This is the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. We'll see you next time.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.